It is a joy to be with you folks today, and the rain was not a hindrance in the fact that it didn't stress me out or anything, so I thank the Lord that we used to do this a lot. I don't choose to do it anymore, but nevertheless, the Lord is with us always, and we thank Him for His presence. And I thank the Lord for your prayers. This time of prayer is so vital for the life of the church. It's so vital for the fellowship, knowing you're with people that pray for you, and the people that know you that you are praying for. They have great confidence in your prayers. We have great confidence in your prayers. And Julie keeps posting our prayer requests, and you folks and others always are tuned in and are praying for us. We see answers to your prayers. And so we thank God for you. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And that's the way we feel about you folks here. And my, how God is answering prayer. We are going through a unique time of answering prayer. You know, God says some of our requests, not now, but later. You know, we pray anyway, but it's not now, but later. And ever since January, ever since winter, I've been out practically every week on Friday or Saturday or Thursday, whichever day is the best weather day, and knocking on doors and praying hard for somebody to lead to the Lord. And this last Sunday, was it this last Sunday? Yeah, it was this last Sunday. Seems like so much got fit into this week. It surely was 2 weeks ago. But nevertheless, this last Sunday morning, I, after having my devotions and was winding up my prayer time, I said, Lord, I haven't got to lead anybody to the Lord yet this year. And so, Lord, I've been out there every weekend. Lord, please bring somebody here. And we had our service, and we had eight people, didn't we? Yeah, we had eight people. And so we had a great time in that. My brother-in-law, Tom, my brother-in-law, Tim, and my nephew, Tony, all showed up. And so that's a great blessing. Yeah, they all know the Lord. And I was praying for some others that had promised me they would come, and they didn't. You know, they're good Missouri people living in Indiana. And but anyway, boy, when you're in Missouri, people will tell you they'll be there Sunday all the time, and when you go door knocking and visiting just your folks that don't show up very often, but they know you, you know them, and yeah, I'll be there this Sunday. They don't. And but anyway, we had some people that have visited our church, and I was trying to line them up for last Sunday, and they didn't show. But praise God, my relatives showed, okay? And so that was a great blessing. And we have a 96-year-old man that's been coming for about 5 weeks now, and he still drives, 96, and he still walks, and without a cane. And just slightly stooped, and I'd probably be on the ground by 96. But he's an amazing fella, knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and his children are all busy in the First Baptist Church there in town. The American Baptist Convention hadn't always been a conservative outfit. It's taken some liberal turns of things. But that church has survived and had a good preacher the last time and got a new one, and they say is a good one, and so praise the Lord. Well, his children are in that church teaching Sunday school, and they're in the politics of the county and city and things, and his son David, until our mayor got elected, would lead in prayer in all the council meetings. And but we got this mayor that claims to be Presbyterian, claims to be Christian, and Julie sent him a sharp letter because he cut out prayer. And he defended himself that he was a Christian, he's a Presbyterian, and so on. We have some good people in government, in our local government, that know the Lord. Our sheriff, he is a born-again Christian, and I heard him speak before the last election, and he was a blessing. And I know his father-in-law, who is a great independent Baptist preacher out in the country, Garrison Creek Baptist Church. I've visited there a couple times. And we are grateful for our sheriff, and praise God for him. But anyway, Carl Nutting, this man, 96 years old, and he is attending our church. And he has another one he attends on Sunday morning, and in Everton. But he brought a visitor last week, and we had a wonderful time playing harmonicas together. And my harmonica group that I'd been training, has been coming and all, they've kind of taken a vacation from church for a while. And so this fella, he came, and we had a great time. Well, we had pizza. A guy gave me $40 on Saturday, and when we were out visiting, and he hasn't been to our church in 2 years, but anyway, God laid it on his heart to give me $40. What I bought the pizza with on Sunday. And all our needs are met. We have plenty of food, and we give food away. We did that on Saturday, and so we have plenty of food. God answers your prayers on that. But nevertheless, pizza money, that's what the Lord provided there. And so I treated our relatives. We were eating Sunday afternoon after the service, and then there was a knock on the door, and it was Billy. She is Billy. This grandma behind us, her name's Bobby, too. And so we have Billy and Bobby, who are ladies, all right? Billy, she attended our church last year, about November. And here she is knocking on the door. She's got some relative that's got a newborn baby. She had brought him by when I was sitting out on the swing, taking a breather once on the Saturday before. And so I met the baby, beautiful little Gerber baby. She said the source for, diapers has dried up suddenly and won't be back until next week. We need diapers. And my brother's with me here, and he needs prayer. And so I said, well, you sit down here, and I'll go and get the diapers, and then I'll be back and pray with your brother. Now Billy had attended our church before, and she seemed to fit right in and loved the singing and things like that. I got the diapers, and I got them 75, and that might hold them to almost the time. I'm not sure how that goes anymore. It's been a while. But anyway, I got the right size, though. Hallelujah. When I got back, they were eating pizza. We had lots of pizza, and Julie was feeding them pizza. And I said, well, Jeff, come on with me. We sat in the chapel, and conversed with him a little bit, and the Lord said, go ahead, give him the gospel. I did, and he was ripe and ready, ripe fruit, ready to fall off the tree. I mean, I run into hard-nosed people every week when I'm out in visitation, or nice people, but they're already saved, or nice people, and they ain't saved, and they ain't interested, but nevertheless, this one was ready. And so Jeff Griffin called on the Lord for salvation. It was a joy to take him through the gospel, and he was just eager. And he has some health issues. He has seizures, and sometimes they get really bad, he said. And I think it scares him. And so he's, I'll say, about 30 years old. And anyway, he called on the Lord for salvation. And he wanted a Bible. And I said, great. Well, tell you what, you come tomorrow, Monday. You come tomorrow, and I'll give you a Bible. I wanted to do follow-up with him. Disciple him, you know. And I know where he lives. It's just a half block down. I know how it looks on the inside. I've been there when other people lived there. And but anyway, and the landlord hadn't improved it any. But anyway, I said to him, you come tomorrow. And so he did. Monday he came, and Billy was with him, and Megan was with him. Megan was his girlfriend's sister, and I think Megan had been a roommate of Billy's for a few months. They came once before, a couple months ago. They were needing food, and I had plenty, and I fixed them up. So anyway, I think I met her then. But they come in, and we have a great time of talk, and getting acquainted. And I said, well, I took Jeff here through the plan of salvation. I have big cards that I use to go through the plan of salvation every Sunday morning at church. And I use that with Jeff, and I use it again with these folks. This is what I was showing Jeff. Well, Billy's seen it before. But anyway, this is what I was showing Jeff. And so I go through the plan of salvation again. And I said, now, Megan, would you like to call on the Lord for salvation? I had the strongest deep down impression to ask her that question. And I'm not a high pressure salesman. And so anyway, but I had the Lord's leading, and she said yes. And so she called on the Lord for salvation, all right? And now I'm about to get two things confused here. She did that on Tuesday, all right? Monday, she heard the plan of salvation, and I gave her a Bible. I gave Billy a Bible, and I gave Jeff. That's it, Billy and Jeff, I gave a Bible on Monday. Well, anyway, I went through some discipleship, and then they came on Tuesday. I asked them to come on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Well, now that's when we've got Jeff, his girlfriend Ashley, and we got Megan. All right. We go through the plan of salvation again. That's when she called on the Lord for salvation. Thank you. Now, Ashley, I asked her. And she said no. And even before Megan called on the Lord for salvation, she was trying to convince Ashley to do it, all right? And Jeff was too. And I said, now don't high pressure her. It's everyone's own personal decision. Ashley, I got the goods on this later. Ashley, she's kind of a timid type person. And though her mom passed away in 2013, she was still grieving. I've read of cases like this. Still grieving over her mom was dead, and her adopted mom was dead. And she was grieving over both of them, especially the second one. And but anyway, I said, now back off, friends. And Megan, you're wanting to? Yes, okay. Well, let's go ahead. And I wound up helping her, and she called on the Lord for salvation. And she's got a Bible now. Jeff's got one. And Billy's not back on Tuesday, but I think she'll be here at church today. I mean, at our church today. And I said, let's meet again Thursday night. And so they come Thursday night. And we go through the plan of salvation again. And I got a different set of soul winning cards that I use this time. We'd gotten them at New Life Church in Franklin some years back, especially for deaf people, but it's got great pictures, and it fits in more scripture. And one fella quit smoking just from going through that one. And so anyway, these folks probably have some addictions they need help with too. So anyway, I went through that one that time. Well, Ashley said, "I want a Bible today." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And when I finished going through the plan of salvation, I said, "Would you like to be saved?" Now, before I could ask her that, the devil was working, okay? There was a ruckus outside my office door. And so right before I asked her that question, it's right at the right point, okay? And right before I asked her that question, we've got a loud knocking on the door. It's Billy. There's some issue. Make a long story short, somebody tried to give him stolen goods, and somebody's getting exposed, and so they're framing Megan for it, okay? And so anyway, Megan goes out there and deals with that, and she did the right thing about it, okay? And she comes back in, and while she was out there, though, I prayed. Julie was upstairs. She could hear everything going on. She was praying her heart out. And she was praying. And so while Megan was out there, we kind of regrouped the last scriptures. And we come to the question again, "Would you like to be saved?" And Ashley said, "Yes." And so then she called on the Lord for salvation. Hallelujah. And so that's three now. And this is just so exciting. Megan comes back in, and when she was ready for Ashley to get saved, Ashley said, "I already did it." And so we had a great time of follow-up study, and I introduced them to prayer in Psalm 119 on Tuesday, and today the Lord's Prayer, and we go through that together, and some other issues of growing in the Lord. 1 John chapters 1 and 2, I went over them verse by verse, and as far as chapter 2, verse 3. And then we sing "Jesus Loves Me," and then the Lord impressed on my heart to give him a harmonica. And so I give him a harmonica, and I started teaching them harmonica, and they're eating it up. They're just like kids with a new toy, and it was wonderful. And they learned nothing but the blood of Jesus. Julie come down, we went through it all, and hallelujah, we had us a time. And I said, "Well, see you Sunday." They said, "We'll be here." And so I'm expecting Billy plus the three new converts. Now, honestly, I'm not convinced Billy is saved. She's gone to church a lot somewhere in her history. She's 38 years old. I really believe she takes drugs. I really believe she does. And I see the signs occasionally. And when she is on high on whatever, she's the loudest one in the neighborhood, and that's four houses down, you know. Yeah, three. And but anyway, pray for Billy. I'm praying that she will call on the Lord for salvation and real soon. So God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And I wanted to take time to share that with you in Sunday school because you pray so hard for us. I've even popped in on you on a Wednesday night a few years ago and you were praying for us. And it's a joy to have prayer supporters. And God answers prayer. My wife's gone through some recent health issues and troubling her, and just one night recently, I think it was Thursday night, she was sharing it with Julie and I think the deep concern she had, and we had a time of prayer about that right then, and God laid it on my heart Friday to get something at the health food store that would help her, and a couple things. And so anyway, by today, it's working. And so God answers prayer. And just keep on praying. Believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. That's in Mark chapter 11, about verse 23. And that's part of my Sunday school lesson, okay? And turn to Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We need, like verse 2 says, my soul thirsteth for God. We've got to have a thirst for God, like a person in the desert that's needing water. I'm reading a book right now that I'm getting a lot of joy out of. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And I've read it through four times in the past 2 weeks, and I'll probably start in again next week. But it's been a real blessing on this theme right here. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The occasion, Absalom's rebellion. And there are folks, because he's pulling it off so successfully, that are saying David's a has-been, all right? So the giant slayer, where's his God now, you know? And my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, his memory of great times, worshiping the Lord with folks. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's taken a deep, long look at himself, his spiritual and emotional and physical condition. And he's saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Sometimes we take an assessment, we're thinking we're doing all right, but we're down. Maybe it's because it's raining. Maybe it's because the sun just went behind the clouds. Maybe it's because of bad news. But we recognize something's taking a dip inside here. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hallelujah. I love that verse. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And we see that theme in chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You can pray with faith, believing when you're down, when you're in the dumps, when you're discouraged, or if you're depressed. You can pray with faith, believing, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You can pray in faith, believing. Again, Mark chapter 11 says, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. And God has done that so many times for me. And as I said last Sunday morning, God, would you just bring somebody here? I've been knocking on doors all winter and spring. Lord, bring somebody here. And he did. A lady asking for diapers led to a series of answers to prayer. And praying for my wife's health on Thursday night led to a series of, when I was in the store, get this, get that. And it working. And hallelujah. God answers prayer. God answers your prayers. We feel your prayers behind us as we're there working. And we pray for you too. And God is so good. Psalm 44, verse 5 says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Victory's on our side. The world's and the devil's been defeated at the cross. And the devil's days are numbered. When he reminds you of your past, something that God's already forgiven you for, you just say, get off my back, devil. My sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you just say, get off my back. And your day is coming, boy. He's going to put you in the lake of fire. You remind him of his future when he reminds you of your past. And it's good to be able to put the devil down. Now, David had to get some rest. And he had to get out of tight spot he was in. He felt like Jerusalem is not the place to hole up right now. And so he went outside and they cross they go down toward, they go up the mountain, Mount Olivet, and then they will soon cross the River Jordan. But as they were ascending up into the mountain, he had some tears. He was weeping, it says in 2 Samuel. And so we see it here in Psalms. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And then the people with him, it says in 2 Samuel, there, they were weeping with him. And well, then they go to Penuel, and David parks there. But he's had some time now to rest and get organized and make sure the right men are in charge of the troops. And so first of all, he gets rested, and then he gets organized, and then he gets energized. And that's when I think the Lord had him write this one right here, Psalm 42. And hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then he, of course, got faith. And he believed this is going to turn out all right. Now we're in our the morning service, we're going to look at a Psalm 144. That's after this, when the victory's been won. And the Lord answered his prayer. And we'll look at that then. In World War I, there was, of course, some chaplains. Our commander-in-chief of the American Expeditionary Force was a Christian himself. And so we had some chaplains, but the Salvation Army wanted to be a part to helping the troops, and so they were. Evangeline Booth was the head of Salvation Army at that time, as I understand it, and she paved some way in Washington. And so here in Europe, on the front lines with the 26th Division of the American troops, is a man called La Petite Major, or the Little Major. And he's 53 years old, he's got gray hair, and he's a major, not in the U.S. Army, but in the Salvation Army, okay? He's already been a lieutenant and served in a ministry and been successful. He's already been a captain and been a head of ministries and been successful, and he's a major now. He's a seasoned veteran and in the Salvation Army, leading men to the Lord, preaching and so forth. And he hangs around the 26th Division, and they're not letting him in. They're kind of holding him at arm's length always, at all times. Anytime he's in the headquarters and so forth and trying to set up some meetings, a place to meet and so on, they keep doing that. I know what that's like. In my neighborhood, when I'm bringing the gospel, this is what I feel all the time. Hi, preacher. Yeah, it's good to see you. Okay. And but they're not ready to get saved right now or come to church, okay? And when I bring food, suddenly the guard is down until I bring up the gospel. But nevertheless, they love to get food, though. Okay. And well, anyway, the major's not getting anywhere, but he's hanging around because God laid it on his heart that he's going to have a ministry here. And so finally it happens when there was a fellow from up around Montana who was in the army there in the 26th Division. He murdered a fellow soldier. He was tried, convicted. The commander, the colonel, said, firing squad's too good for him. And he is going to be hung by the neck. And so anyway, he becomes very violent as a prisoner, this one doomed to hang. And he is put in chains like the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. And chains and hands and feet. And he is not responding to any chaplains who their best desire and wishes and the right attitude and so forth. But he turns away all spiritual help. And he's blasphemous, and on the day he's to be hung, the demoniac said, I heard there's a Salvation Army guy around here. I want to see him. Sometimes when you can't reach somebody, somebody else can. And But they looked for him. They've been shoving him away and hoping he'd go back to America for so long, and now they need him. And because the colonel cared, because the Major Roosevelt, and there's also a captain in the battalion of the 26th. His last name is Roosevelt. They're brothers. They're Theodore Roosevelt's sons. And the older brother will lead a charge in Normandy Beach in World War II as a general, one-star general. But anyway, these men, they're concerned. The chaplains weren't concerned. They finally dig him up, and the little major comes, and he sits down with the prisoner. And he says to him, you must be in great trouble, brother. Can I help you? And the prisoner looks up with his bleary eyes and unshaveled appearance, and he said, you called me brother. Why? You know what I've done. And the little major said, because I know a great deal about the suffering of Christ on the cross, all because he loved you. Because he said he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. Because I know he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So why shouldn't I call you brother? Then they got down on their knees and the little major started praying. When the major prayed, he said, all right, now you can pray. And the prisoner, the murderer, called on the name of the Lord for salvation. And then suddenly he said, it's true what you said. Christ has pardoned me. Now I can die like a man. And when they took him up on the scaffold and the chaplain said, you got any last words? He said, yes. And he had a big smile on his face. And he said, I want to thank the authorities and the Salvation Army for what they did for me. And he died knowing he was going to heaven and his sins were forgiven. The colonel was so impressed of the 26th Division, he sent a thank you note to the little major. And Major Roosevelt came to visit him and said, you know, Major, he said, I knew somebody that knew how to work with men must have talked to him. That smile he had on his face. And from then on, the 26th Division didn't want to go anywhere without the little major. And it was easy to get a dugout for him and where he could have meetings and have refreshments for the men. He was with them, a 70-pound pack on his back when they marched to the next place. He was with them when they were digging the ditches, the trenches. And he was with them when they're sleeping in the trenches and their water's there and their rats are falling down over the roof and splashing and running. And he's with them when the barrage of artillery of the enemy is coming down upon him. And they huddle around him because it seems like he's got lots of people praying for him, and wherever he is safety. And so they huddle around him. And when the commander says, all right, men, over the top, they said, we're not going without our little major. And he said, I'm here, boys. And so the little guy waved his hand so they could see him amidst the throng. And so then over the top they go. There's a sudden quiet as the artillery has stopped and they're going as far as they can. The officers leading the charge and the major's with them, the little major. And the men feel like we can do it. In one of the toughest battles they fought, there was only two that died and four that were wounded, and other divisions suffered heavy casualties. But it seemed like where their little major was, that was a place to be. And, one night there was a few months down, there was a new boy came from America. He was 18 years old, and it had been a rough day for him. He had never been in battle before. The rest of them are all veterans, and they're sleeping. The enemy is sending over the artillery, and it's blowing up everywhere around them, but these veterans are sleeping through it. And the little major is just half asleep, and this young boy started crying. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy!" A shell landed just close by, scared him half to death. He panicked, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" And the little major was up off his cage where he slept, and he was around that boy and hugging him and holding him and soothing him and calming him down, and told him, "The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," even here. You got to have Jesus to be able to handle this, son. And he said, "I want him. I want him now." And so the major led him to the Lord. And then he was peaceful and calm, and they could handle the rest of the night. The other fellows never even woke up. When they had meetings and the gospel was preached down in the dugout, those American soldiers, many of them would come forward and pray at the altar, and he'd be his arms around three of them, leading them to the Lord, because they know we gotta have God. The major would say in his meetings, the major would say to that boy, "God is here." When he told that boy the Psalm 23, when he led him to the Lord, he said, "God is here. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. You're here. You're speaking to our hearts. Your Holy Spirit is taking your word and doing a work in our souls. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church of prayer and power, the power of the Spirit, not by might nor by, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of the hosts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are here. You are with us. Thank you, Father, we have your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that because you go with us, we can go anywhere. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.